Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that two-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Rich, I'd like to ask you if you have anything coming up that you'd like to plug for a few minutes before we get to the content of the show.
Oh, sure. Well, I think...
anything in Australia or Saudi Arabia in particular, or maybe a charity event?
Well, I have... I know WWE has the Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
I have Jewel of the Nile going on in Egypt, where I will be eating steak and having my wife drink the finest wine while starving children can watch us do so on a pay-per-view.
This Raw in last week's show, I know I opened last week with kind of the same thing. They're just plugging too much stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know Saudi Arabia's paying a lot of money and they're, you know, it's cool to do a show in Australia. Jason from Australia will be on tomorrow's show, by the way. And we'll talk about SmackDown, but also the Super Showdown. And charity work is great, and sponsorships from chain restaurants are good to fit in during ring introductions and all of that. But my God, Baron Corbin has his hands full, Rich. He's taken on too much.
He really has. He's juggling too many balls, and I think we saw in that main event that, you know, with all that work, some of his ring time has kind of gone to the wayside, and so he's not quite ready for a Universal title match.
So I know I'm just, you know, dripping with sarcasm here, but I mean, what is the top story from this episode of Raw other than I'm starting to feel stressed out? There's too much. I mean, not as a, like a, someone who has to cover this for a living. The more stuff I cover, the more things I get to talk about. That's great. But like, as a viewer, like I got a dentist appointment that I got to worry about. I've got other stuff, you know, I've got a schedule, and WWE is throwing all these things at me. And it's like everything that's happening in the show, it's like pointing at a different event. I think they've gone too far with this, Rich. What do you think?
It reminds me, there was a skit a couple of years ago on the Chappelle show where he turned the internet into a real place. Like if you went to a mall,
yeah,
and pop-ups, which has kept coming up. And that's where we're at. Like you're about to walk into the arena to watch Raw. And all of a sudden you're getting tackled by the Saudi show, or you're being told Evolution's coming, or you're being told how great that it's going to be for the Undertaker and Triple H in Australia. And when you go to the bathroom, you're being told, don't forget SmackDown and 205 Live and Mae Young Classic. And don't forget NXT. And don't forget Mick Foley talking about his 20th anniversary of Hell in a Cell. You just want to just leave and just unplug everything and go back to a cave or a farm somewhere with Brock.
I think people tune into wrestling and they understand it's a means to an end, to a degree. I mean, WWE doesn't have to be that anymore, by the way. They could quit everything and just everybody would be rich and the wrestlers would be paid better than ever if all they did was Raw and SmackDown every week. And they dropped house shows, they just shut down the network, and they never traveled overseas. And they'd be just fine with the money they're making from their TV deal, which is a great place to be. But their TV deal was made because people want to tune in to watch something that where there's a pact, there's an understanding, a contract with the viewer. Hey, you know, it's pro wrestling, we're going to be promoting other stuff, but we're going to give you content. And I felt like, especially, and we'll talk to our on-site correspondent in a few minutes, it just felt like, I can't imagine being in that building. I thought there was an audible groan at one point when they like threw to another video package. Because it's not just promoting, as Graves said, and we joked here, you know, Graves said on commentary, oh, Baron Corbin lost because, or he's, you know, doing well despite, I can't remember what the context was, because he's got to worry about Evolution and Super Showdown and Crown Jewel, for those who haven't heard, Crown Jewel is WWE Saudi Arabia show that they announced that's going to feature Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in the main event. And probably something with Shawn Michaels and Triple H against Undertaker and Kane. And I'm sure WWE would listen to this complaining and be like, hey, we gave you an Undertaker promo. We gave you a Universal title match. We gave you an IC title match. We gave you a Dean Ambrose and Drew McIntyre singles match. We gave you a women's tag match. I mean, there was content, but it just felt like the content to me felt like the commercial break, and the rest of the show was something was built around other things, and the matches were sort of like this filler before they got to something else that always was either a plug, a flashback, or an angle leading to a plug on a graphic on the screen. So, I mean, that to me is a story of the show the last 2 weeks, and maybe it'll just go away when they don't have this many events. But I wrote about it in the cover story of last week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. Also, it's like the David Chappelle skit. It's too much, and I'm not worried, but I think there's a chance WWE is going to pay a price, and people are going to get frustrated, and those who aren't now are going to be a lot more tempted to watch clips online or speed through it on DVR, because I mean this show boils down to about 45-50 minutes of actual content at best, Rich.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about when they go forward with the Fox deal, and one of the issues I always have, I have Comcast here in Pittsburgh, is when you don't DVR Fox, they refuse to allow you to fast forward through commercials. So I'm already thinking about whether, you know, with SmackDown being on Fox, it being a situation where if SmackDown, as I assume, becomes Raw basically as their de facto A show and they kind of treat it the way they treat Raw, there might be nights where I can't fast forward through it and I have to sit down as if I really were there that day. And that's a nightmare, because I can only imagine how much they'll want to do this for network television as well. It's like, well, if we're on network TV, we got to make sure we promote Raw. We got to make sure we promote our 18th Saudi show this month. We got to make sure we promote the fact that we're going to be at this children's hospital we just happened to build 5 days ago for no reason. You know, it just gets ridiculous. It's the heightening of how much they can do and how much room. I mean, the average television show is 21 minutes of a show and 9 minutes of commercials. And I feel like if we timed Raw recently, we'd have probably about an hour and a half, hour and a half. That's how bad it feels.
It does. So if you DVR the show, you can fast forward commercials, but if you watch it on demand, you can't, or what?
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yeah. So DVR it. I guess that's the answer. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing for me, though, Wade. I will tell you, I lose the battle with my wife all the time for the DVR, so I have to – that a three-hour block – well, two-hour in the case of SmackDown block of time is something that
– there's not room
probably,
for it.
Yeah, she has 37 episodes of Wife Swap, two Got episodes it. Of John and Kate plus eight, or God, I'm dating myself. It's actually whatever multiple children or spouses or whatever it is that's on TLC that she enjoys. So I will lose that battle every time.
I totally forgot about John and Kate plus eight. I don't think I've thought of that for like 10 years. Thanks, Rick. All right, let's set the table here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Following the Monday, September 17th, 2018 edition of WWE Monday Night Raw. I was trying to think of something snarky to call the show, but whatever. Monday Night Raw is a bunch of plugs and commercials now. I'm Wade Keller, host of the program. I'm here 4 days a week, right here on the post show on our Red feed. We do a post Raw and post SmackDown show, so check us out tomorrow also. Jason from Australia, as I mentioned, will be my guest co-host. And then later in the week on our blue logo, it's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, as opposed to the post shows. And our Thursday flagship and Interview Friday make up those shows, although on occasion we break from format and do a mailbag. So check us out later this week. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, scheduled to be my guest co-host on the flagship edition of the podcast. Today on the Raw Post Show, Rich Fan is my co-host. Rich, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Wade. Always a pleasure to do it, and I look forward to us talking about Raw is commercials.
Yes. We'll talk about the content that you provide on the podcast side of things in just a little bit, but we're going to try to break away from being too much like Raw and get to some content that isn't just me complaining about the lack of content, because there was enough content, certainly, for us to have a conversation. I do want to encourage people to call us. And if you want to join us on the program here, the number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Just be sure to push 1 on your touchtone phone if you want to talk. And let's go ahead and do it. Let's go to our first phone call of the day and go to area code 520. 520, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
John from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, John, thanks for calling. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I would have felt bad if you're like, no, wait, I call every week. Well, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
No, I listen every week usually, but yeah, this is my first time calling. I just wanted to say, yeah, Roman Reigns, it's getting too much, and I don't think the Shield is helping. For me, at least, watching, I really enjoyed Seth, and especially Dean coming back on their own. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Maybe other people are liking it, and I know that's what they're trying to go for, but just watching Baron Corbin and Roman tonight, it's just pretty boring, and Brock last night coming through too. It didn't do much for me, and I know them thinking bringing Brock could do something. Didn't get me going for it.
Rich, talk about the state of the Shield and Roman Reigns and how they utilize them. The big angle at the end, after they got through Baron Corbin, predictably, everybody saw it coming except the announcers, that Corbin was going to restart the match after he got DQ'd and abuse his power and make a mockery of everything that's everything. I mean, at this point, when it comes to the championships and integrity of matches and all that, but he's a heel GM and that's what they do in WWE. And then you had Seth and Dean running out to help even the odds when Strowman and Dolph and Drew ran out. And that, of course, you know, set up very conveniently the six-man tag match that they've got coming up on, I don't know, is it Evolution? I doubt it. It's one of the other shows, the Super Showdown. So, yeah, I mean, Roman and Corbin had a match that included I thought they thought they were at commercial break for like an extra minute and a half when they came back from that break with that just arm bar that Corbin had him in. But Rich, yeah, what's your take on the state of Seth, Dean, and a little more of an emphasis on Roman Reigns since he's the one being buoyed by Seth and Dean at every turn?
Well, it's funny you mention that because prior to Raw, I was listening to the 4-Star Summit, and you all had a question about stables and how WWE utilizes stables, and I think tonight's Raw was a perfect example of how they just use them to fit a story and not create a story around them. It really was just, they were there. I mean, from a logical standpoint, I don't know why Finn Balor didn't show up, because this is the exact same situation that precipitated him losing to Corbin. Why wouldn't he want to even the odds, given the fact that it's now no DQ and that they were outnumbered 4-3? I think the Shield is really just kind of being used as placeholders, as Roman booing defense shields until they either figure out that Roman's going to get booed when they're not around, or something cataclysmic happens to the entire fan base. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now with the Shield. I enjoy Rollins and Ambrose together. I think their tag match last night was awesome, and I think their matches today were pretty good. But as far as the Shield proper, I think the stable's kind of just a placeholder right now.
And I really worry, and I know I'm harping on this, but there's a certain rhythm and cadence to wrestling booking and storylines, and it's just, I mean, they're promoting SmackDown tomorrow night with some, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. It's like they don't always promote as much as they do AJ Styles being action against Andrade, now I'm forgetting because they threw so much at me during that show, but they announced like three things for SmackDown, and then you've got the Shield and the six-man tag match, but I don't know that it's sinking in all that much. I mean, they're promoting Braun and Brock and Roman at the same time. Then they're promoting Roman with the Shield against Braun and Dean and Dolph. But every time we talk about something now, it just strikes me how everybody is involved in one or two things that they're trying to promote at the same time. We had this problem with the dual brand pay-per-views, but at least it was separate rosters, even if they were promoting two events at once. I don't know. But I think Roman is where he's going to be. I mean, to kind of wind back to that, John, I think Roman, what you see is where he is right now. They're going to call him polarizing, but the babyface announcer is going to praise him to no end. And Graves is going to moderately criticize him, but not cut too close to home. And he's going to be protected, and they're going to surround him with situations that they think will make him look strongest. He's going to be in the charity video smiling. He's going to be doing a bunch of Superman punches. He's going to have the odds stacked against him. And he's going to have friends by his side who the fans like, hoping that you think he's a cool guy because those people like him too. And this is WWE today at the top of the Raw brand. That's Roman Reigns. John, your follow-up, if you have any.
Yeah, no, I... Everything you guys said, I agree with. That's why I listened to you, of course. But I used to be a Roman Reigns fan when he was in the Shield. And, you know, they had the feud with the Wyatts, and I thought that was awesome. And he played that part good, the muscle and everything. But yeah, I mean, ever since they just gave him the push, it's kind of fallen off a little bit here and there for me, and I've liked Seth Warren, you know, just other acts like Finn Balor and whatnot. But
yeah,
no, it's what it is. And no, I was just gonna say we have a house show coming here on Saturday. I'm gonna go to convince the fiance to go. So we'll see if she likes it. She's not too into it, but happy she's going. And yeah, that was just about it.
John, appreciate it. Hope you can send us a report on the show if you're so inclined. We'd love to get reports on house shows.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. PW Torch at pwtorch.com, by the way, is how you all can help us keep pwtorch.com up to date. We had a light weekend for results being sent, and I was disappointed. So help us out. If you're listening to this show and you attend a house show like John plans to, please send us a report. Type up a list of who beat who and some details on the matches and send it to pwtorch at pwtorch.com. Also, I know we have on-site correspondents, but I encourage you, if you do attend Raw and SmackDown and you aren't the on-site correspondent on this show, still send us a report on what happened. Sometimes our on-site correspondents don't get there early enough or stay late enough to see all the matches, and everybody's got a different impression of what happened and picks up on different details. So send us the on-site reports, too, of the dark matches, crowd responses, a report on what merchandise seems most popular, estimated attendance or how full the building is, all that good stuff. PWTorch at pwtorch.com is kind of the catch-all email for news and results, so you can help us be all places with all sets of eyes and pass that along to our readers and listeners. Rich, what did you think of Brock Lesnar and the run-in last night? And then, and our inside correspondent, by the way, was both later on, was at Hell in a Cell, so it'd be interesting to get his thoughts on the contrast between the two nights and how each of them played out too. But what did you think of how they handled that on Raw tonight? And Heyman's promo explaining Brockonomics, which I thought was smart. It gives people a reason to think that Brock wants to be in WWE and UFC at the same time. It makes it seem like Brock isn't a lame duck challenger, but somebody who might regain that Universal title in Saudi Arabia.
I liked it because I think a lot of folks have mentioned, and I won't be, you know, the first to say it, that Brock is, as much as Triple H likes to say it, Brock really is the last of the dying breed of true pro wrestling, as Bruce mentions, businessmen. He will show up if you pay him. And if he can be paid at two places at once, that makes perfect sense. And it makes so much more of a value, the character of Brock, to the WWE when you don't harp on the fact that he's a part-timer. And they haven't done that with this. If they had screamed as he was kicking the door down, oh, you know, he's only strong enough to do that because he didn't do a house show in Peoria last night, you know, it kind of made things weirder. But they lost their minds and rightfully did so here. And Heyman is always a master at selling things. So I'm looking forward to it. And as one of my friends said, the opportunity for a really rich dude to have his action figure show up at his house is showing turning out to be a very big night for the WWE.
Do you think there's any chance that fans are going to think Lesnar's going to win that match? Or do you think fans look at that as just another chance for Roman to overcome the odds and win, whether they like it or not? And some people will like it and some will not, and others will be just neutral or dispassionate about it, I guess.
I think a lot of people are resigned to the fact that it's going to be Roman, and they'll talk themselves into something leading into it. But they, if they search their hearts, they know it to be true.
Yeah, yeah. I think there is, yeah, what's the phrase? Willful delusion or something like that.
Cognitive dissonance.
That's it. Yes, thank you, Rich. Yeah. You saved me there. Cognitive dissonance, yes. So, it felt like there was a lot of star power there, but I just thought by the end of that segment, I don't know that anybody, I mean, there's some people who still really hate Roman, but I think the energy is just drained because it just sort of feels like, you know, he got elected by Vince with one vote, and that's the result. And, you know, there's a certain lack of energy fighting it at this point. But I don't sense a greater acceptance. I just see a growing group of people who just don't have strong feelings. They don't give that big reaction anymore, in part because WWE told those fans over and over, hey, at least he gets a reaction. And I think a lot of those fans are like, well, the best way to protest now is just to, like, just be sort of bored with him when he comes out. And obviously there's still people cheering him and still people booing him, but it's just not where you want. I don't think it's where you want your lead babyface to be. And then you got Braun. The fans still aren't sure how to feel about him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they're supposed to feel about Bobby Lashley at this point either. A lot of ambiguity. And I just, I mean, in the right spot, every once in a while, it's okay. But as a rule, you want fans to care, have a reason to care strongly, pro or con, for wrestlers. And even with Brock, as obnoxious as Paul Heyman can be, he sort of speaks the truth. So, and Brock's a badass. So I just, yeah, and that, I'm not sure what the crowd reaction would be for that match. I think in Saudi Arabia, it'll be pretty strong, pro-Roman. But people are going to, those fans are also going to be, think Braun Strowman's a monster and a beast. And, well, Brock's the beast. And they're going to think he's a megastar. So it's just weird. I mean, it's three big names fighting, and you can make money doing that. Saudi Arabia wanted Brock, and they're paying to get him. So they got him. yeah, it's right. Anyway, let's go to our next call. Again, the number is 347-215-8558. We'll go to 814 next. 814, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan, thanks. What's on your mind?
I have the Undertaker promo on my mind. A couple of weeks ago, the Wrestling Observer sort of speculated that the Saudi Arabia show that we could possibly see in a dark match that won't be shown on the actual, like, WWE Network, Generation X against the Brothers of Destruction. That promo sort of hinted at that, with Kane being in Undertaker's corner and Shawn Michaels being in Triple H's corner. Could you possibly see a dark match happening so that Shawn Michaels can sort of like hide the fact that he's wrestling?
Rich, Shawn Michaels can't hide that he's wrestling. It's not 1970. he could have hit it in 1992. I mean, it would have been a little easier. There's no way. I mean, they basically said, I mean, they stopped short of saying that's going to be the match. But when you put Kane at ringside and Michaels at ringside, and it's Saudi Arabia with the money that they pay, they want to see Kane. And I mean, again, Saudi Arabia is just, it's like the kid who gets to buy every single Lego set. Even the ones that are out of print gets to just be pulled out of some storage room somewhere. There's some Saudi prince who's like a 14-year-old mega WWE fan who's worth $13 quadrillion, and they're paying money for his fantasy matches that most kids have to create on a video game, and he gets to get the real thing. That's what this comes across as, and they can't have that match and not offer it on WWE Network, can they? Won't WWE Network subscribers feel like that's not okay? Why keep the cameras rolling? I pay my $10 a month.
I think, to me, it's you mentioned the Petulant Child. I joked that it was the really rich kid they could play with his action figures and bring him home.
Yeah,
this is essentially Veruca Salt going to the chocolate factory and saying, "Daddy, I want this."
Yes,
and Vince is indulging every single time. I want Ultimate Warrior. Can't help you there. I want Yokozuna. I want Shawn Michaels. Shawn, what's the number, pal? They'll give it to me. And, you know, I think, Ryan, to answer your question, I think if they were to do it as a dark match, that would be the height. I mean, that would show how much money the Saudis are giving emphasis. I mean, they already made the deal, but that would be something that shows that they really cut a check. Because if that's a match one time only, you can't see it. The mayor of Knox County versus the Heartbreak Kid in a tag match. I mean, I don't know about his constituents, but I would hope Kane can contribute some of that back to his region, because my goodness, that time off, he just got the job, and that's a heck of a vacation. It's wild to me that this is even happening, let alone on top of it being a few days after Evolution. That's going to be an issue that they're probably going to want to not pay attention to. So I think it helps that they're hitting us with a deluge of events, so you can't put two and two together until well after four has been written on the paper.
What did you think of Undertaker's promo and his delivery? I felt like I wrote this in my report on pwtorch.com tonight. I thought he got 3 minutes of material, stretched it to 10, and I didn't mind at all. Like, I thought that is everything, you know, people are willing to listen to Undertaker talk for 10 minutes, even if it's about 3 minutes worth of material, because of the way he says it. There's a deliberateness, there's a gravitas to what he says, and he really emphasized the points. I thought it worked. I don't think it would have worked for two more minutes. I think he pushed it, but there was enough there with the news of Kane and the way that he talked about what he planned to do to Triple H. That largely, I thought it worked.
I agree, and I think I really enjoyed it because, like you said, it's a traditional Undertaker promo. I like the fact that he talked about how Triple H is lying to himself because he spends so much time as a corporate stooge lying to everyone else, and it's just given him a warped view of reality, which was, I think, it cut a little too close to home. But I think if you juxtapose the Undertaker promo with Ronda Rousey asking if someone has the gumption to fight her, you can tell who had something written for them and who said, yeah, I'll say what I need to say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We've got our on-site correspondent standing by. So we're pretty deep into segment one here. Let's go to the second stanza of the program with our on-site correspondent, and then we'll answer email questions. So if we didn't get to your call or question yet, please drop us an email. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. We'll be back with our on-site correspondent with some, I think, good insight into what happened. Hopefully it's good insight for what happened in Dallas in that building tonight. It would be a strange experience being in that show, sitting in the crowd watching so many videos, but maybe the good in-ring action spread out as it was will satisfy the crowd. We'll find out after this.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back with our on-site correspondent for from Dallas, who also attended Hell in a Cell on Sunday night. Richie, welcome to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, nice to meet, talk to you guys.
We're talking obviously about Monday Night Raw, but we might throw in a little Hell in a Cell talk too, because you were able to attend Hell in a Cell in San Antonio last night. Also, are you tired of WWE, or have you come away inspired and energized and ready for more?
Well, after tonight's Raw, it was a really good Raw. I mean, I've been a lifelong WWE fan, so even if the product wasn't the greatest, I would still watch it. You know, I don't want to be those grudging fans who hate watch it, but I do find the product enjoyable, but there are still in certain areas where we could improve on.
One thing that we led with on today's show, and I'm going to start with this because I'm curious what it was like in the building, and we talked about it last week. This felt like it felt like there were a lot of video recaps, the charity video, highlights at the beginning of the show, like when Reigns walked out, then he stood there, and then they cut to highlights of the match. There was a lot of that. Did it seem excessive, or in the building, did it work? I know it's a beautiful building, and I'm sure their sound system and video system is top-notch, and that helps. But did you feel as a viewer at the building that you were getting enough content on the stage or in the ring, or did you sort of feel like a prop for a TV show at times that was doing other things other than entertaining you directly?
It was kind of strange because, like, they'll do the entrances, and they'll cut the commercial, and we'll just sit there on our hands when we're watching the wrestlers pace around or talk to the fans when they're not on camera. I think tonight there was a good amount of wrestling tonight. I mean, it felt like it, but yeah. I was in the building, so I don't know if that would have changed my own feeling. I can't wait to go home and watch it tomorrow. I think we have it recorded, but it felt like I don't think it was too excessive, but it felt like, what's the word I'm going to look for? Like, whenever it did it, like the people, there's like some small claps, not the large amount of claps, if that makes any sense. It's like, yay, package.
Yeah, and I guess part of it too, what came across on TV, maybe even more so than in the building, is how many things that they were doing. I'll let the siren go by.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Ambulance.
Hey, as long as you weren't responsible for it, we're fine.
No, we're just walking.
There they go again. That's all right.
I do apologize about that. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. They got to do their job.
I think I sent you some notes. Just like 5 or 10 minutes ago, but my thoughts off Raw.
Yeah.
But there was, I did mention, like, there was like a Connor's Care segment with Bailey and Sasha, and they did something with Hispanic Culture Month, I think. Which, yep. I think they generated some claps, which is like, eh. But it was strange that one of the packages that we booed at was the I think they called it the Crown Jewel pay per view. or stream. Because like earlier when they announced it, people were booing because I think they expect more out of Paul Heyman or Brock Lesnar rather than sell another event for the network.
See, that I think that's what came across before the sirens came in. I feel like there was that so many segments just led into Michael Cole telling us with a graphic on the screen, well, how convenient this happened because you'll have a chance to see the payoff for this at this future event. And they're juggling a lot besides also advertising SmackDown and Mixed Match Challenge. There's a lot going on. And yeah, it felt like everything was leading to it was almost like a go home show, but for multiple shows all at once. That said, I'm with you. I can imagine being in that building and you get to see the matches that they presented, Drew McIntyre and Dean Ambrose, and a pretty lengthy Seth Rollins, about a 9-minute Seth Rollins Dolph Ziggler match, but a full fledged match. And then in the main event, Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. I mean, it felt like there was probably enough substantial in-ring action. But then some of the action, you know, the women's tag match was 5 minutes or so. Elias, Bobby Lashley was like 3 or 4 minutes. And Bayley and Dana was like 3 minutes. The Authors of Pain was a squash. Chad and Victor was 5 minutes. So I don't know. I wouldn't have thought that from an in-ring standpoint, it was like a top-tier experience, but maybe just enough to satisfy you.
I was kind of disappointed with like some of the choices of the matches, like Bayley versus Dana Burke. We know who's going to win that one. I do expect the ALP squash, but it seemed weird that no there's like no response except for the power moves where you go ooh and ah, and when one of the funny things was like someone tapped behind me like who's this skinny guy hanging out with ALP, and I explained to him that he's the GM of 205 Live, and he's like 205 what? I also made another note about a lot of people know who Leo Rush was, but I don't mean to jump around a lot, but it's just like it seems they need to do a better job pushing 205 Live because it's presenting the wrestlers, because if no one knows who they are, and who do you know to cheer and boo? Like, if that makes any sense.
Even when you know who they are, you don't know who to cheer and boo. And that's what I wanted to ask you, Richie, is Lesnar, Braun, and Reigns. Talk about the Dallas crowd's reaction to them in that opening segment. Was there clearly a favorite? Was it split three ways? Did they just sort of react like, hey, these are three big stars and it's cool that they're here? How do you describe the fan reaction to those three?
Oh, there was a lot of boos for Roman Reigns. There was like, I would say 98% boos for Roman Reigns.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as Braun Strowman came out, it was just nothing but cheers until he said that the crowd sucked. And Baron Corbin, he's a great heat generator. He gets a lot of boos. So that actually, which that would probably lead into the main event, which I think explained that as the night grew longer, Roman Reigns got more and more cheers. I mean, when the show opened up, it was just massive boos for Roman Reigns. And there's a lot of hecklings from the crowd telling him that he lost to Brock and you didn't really win. And we all agree with Braun when he made that statement saying, because of Brock, you can't beat me. And that's when we got behind Braun Strowman.
Rich, go ahead and jump in with a question or two.
Yeah, sure. My big question is when they had the Battle of the Titans between the Bobby Lashley Elias match, Leo Rush, what were your thoughts on him?
Oh, I love Leo Rush's acting. 205 Live. Like, I thought it really helped to make people question like, who is this Leo Rush guy talking about Bobby Lashley? What really helped was the ending segment where I had a lot to process because I don't know how it came out on screen, but he did a moonsault and landed and avoided a bunch of moves.
Yeah.
It just made the crowd jaw drop. Like, we were just cheering for Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush at that time. So if that's helping getting Bobby Lashley over, I'm for Leo Rush being his bestie, or at least be his partner, even.
What were your thoughts? Were you able to tell where you think they're going to be standing once Evolution rolls around? Do you think they're faces heels? Obviously, they helped out against the Riot Squad, but I had questions because Natalya was left for dead.
Are you asking about the Riot Squad?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said that. Yeah, no, no problem. I was just saying that it was strange to me that, like, they came out and it looked like they were trying to do the right thing, but no one paid attention to the fact that Natalya was still left for dead.
Oh, Well, like the crowd I was seeing with, like, we kind of expected Natty to come out and challenge Ronda, but then as soon as Riot Squad came out, that's when we threw them heavily.
I think the sirens were heard earlier with just the ambulance finally deciding we should go figure out if Natalya's still lying on the stage. Give her some help.
There was a lot of cheers for Natty, if that's what you're, like, there's no, like, woo or boo for Natty. It was just like, we expected it to happen. Well, but then as soon as Bellas came out, I was surprised that Dallas crowd came alive for the Bellas.
So Nikki and Brie got a pretty pure babyface response. How did it compare then to Ronda Rousey?
Ronda Rousey, she was a fan favorite tonight. Like, we loved her. We appreciated her.
Did Rousey get one of the bigger star pops of the night, or who beat her in that regard? Dean or Seth or someone else?
Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is super over. Seth is the star of the night, in my opinion. In terms of cheers and claps.
So who's next? If Seth is alone in that top tier, who's in that next tier? Is it Ronda and Dean, and who else?
And so I was just a toss up between Braun and Dean. Well, Braun didn't come out till later tonight, and he was playing pure heel. But his earlier pop when he came out to confront Roman Reigns, that's when he got a pure babyface pop until he turned on the crowd. So I'll have to give number two to Dean Ambrose. And I guess I'll make number three be Rousey.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Since 2007, The Sala Monster Sounds Off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
Well, somebody we're not mentioning, and I assume he's in this mix, would be Undertaker. How'd the crowd respond to him? And
Oh my God.
yeah, I know. We both forgot about him for a minute.
I'm talking a lot because it's like almost 7-8 hours of wrestling to watch him.
Yes,
tonight.
Totally. No, I get it.
But,
I get it.
Undertaker, he had the Dallas love, and it feels like Triple H is going to be the heel, the way he portrayed him as.
Yeah.
He called him a corporate person, and that kind of like makes people boo Triple H when he points out that that Triple H is a corporate person and he's going to need Shawn Michaels to be on the side. But with him having Kane on the side, that drew a massive pop, which I'm kind of curious how Kane's going to juggle his duty as a mayor and then be in Australia for this event.
Was the crowd just hanging on every one of Undertaker's words during that 10-minute promo? Did he lose them ever?
Yeah.
Was there any sense of anything other than, oh, my God, he's here, and let's just hang and listen on his every word?
I think the feeling is, oh, my God, he's here.
Yeah.
I don't want to say we were hanging to his every word, but we were just respecting Undertaker and people yelling, thank you, Taker, and while he was talking. So I think it was mostly respect cheers, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever a way to get Undertaker to be booed at this point. I mean, he's a legend. So there's just no way that which I mean, kind of curious because like leading up to this, like Triple H has been getting cheers for this promo, so I'm just kind of confused on what to do.
What was there any point in the show where you felt that they were losing the crowd at all, or the crowd was disengaged, either matches or a long video segment or anything like that?
I think during the segments, like the crowd's really quiet except for whenever Reigns come on to blare him, whenever he showed on the screen. But I think the segments where we got lost is probably like the matches that really don't mean a whole lot, like the Bayley versus Dana Brooke and Chad Gable versus Victor was really quiet too. Didn't really engage the fans as much, but I don't know if that's answering your question, but it just seems like some of the It's like some of these matches, like they put on, like the fans are just sitting there on their hands and they don't really cheer. And then you do hear cheers, really, like you hear pin drops, basically. Like during the Gable match, there's a small "Let's go Gable," but I don't think there's a lot of them to make it on TV.
Yeah, that makes sense. How did the crowd response for Raw differ from San Antonio? Did you notice any difference Sunday night to Monday night?
San Antonio was a really I was in a hardcore town or a smart town. Like, it was really rowdy. Tonight was there's a lot of families. There's a lot of like moms and dads and kids. So it's like a family night tonight at Raw. I know that that kind of what really helped with the Roman Reigns chair. It's like there's a lot of moms and kids cheering for Roman Reigns and dads. There's dads cheering for Reigns. And I got to the point where I'm not the biggest Reigns fan, but I kind of had to jump on the bandwagon because it just makes the show more enjoyable at one point, which makes Baron Corbin doing a good job at getting Reigns to tears.
Talking about the dark match and also, we'll start with that. What happened before Raw went on the air?
We have Matt Canella versus Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley versus Apollo Crews. Zack Ryder won with the Rough Rider and Apollo defeated Mojo Rawley.
I remember when Mojo Rawley got a push for like a month.
Everyone you just mentioned, Zack Ryder, yeah. Mojo Rawley, Apollo Crews, that's the Isle of Misfit Toys right there.
It really is, yes. Much of a response for any of them?
I didn't have a good response yet. There's a lot of woo-woos, but then when Mike Canella came out, there's hardly any cheers for Canella, unfortunately. But he worked really hard. I mean, he was able to get sympathy for Ryder, and it really brought it up to him to make his comeback, which that's I like those type of matches where the heel beats on the face, and then the face has to come back to win. To me, it seemed like Mojo and Apollo was kind of quiet, but there are some Apollo fans. So we were clapping for Apollo the whole way.
And then when the Raw ended, were fans satisfied with the action that they got in the main event? I know you noted in your email there was no dark match. I'm curious if there was one advertised that you know of.
No, I know, but I bought my tickets when I had a time for anything was advertised. When I bought Hell in a Cell and then Raw popped up, let's go ahead and make it a strong week with wrestling. So let's go ahead and make it Monday Night Raw. So I don't know if there's any match advertised, luckily. But I felt like people went home happy because they were happy that the show came out on top. That's probably because due to the family aspect of this night.
And how about Sunday night at Hell in a Cell? Did the crowd was the crowd satisfied with the match not having a finish?
I would say they were, but I don't want to get you in trouble or get you off the podcasting. as soon as that sticker went up, and then I was on the messenger, so someone messaged me, "Is the show over?" And that's how I'm like, "Well, I guess I went off the air for you guys." But when they went off the network, that's when the whole crowd yelled BS, really, really loud. Like, it was, I'm surprised we didn't have a riot. That's how bad it was.
Well, I think this is the second show in a row that they've done this, so they were pretty aware of the reaction of the finish that they had planned, so that's interesting. I had a quick question for you about Raw. What was the reaction to Ronda's promo? Particularly when she said gumption.
When she said gumption?
She said who had the gumption in the back to take her time.
Oh. I don't think anyone understood that word, but we were just waiting for someone to come out to face with Ralphie. I guess we got some cheers, but I don't think everyone understood that word. Or I didn't understand it me personally. Sorry about that.
No, Richie. It's like I am an old soul. And that's something that even for me, I'm looking and I'm like, I haven't heard that since like someone in an old Western I'd seen. So I don't know why they chose that word for her. And that's great because in my mind, I could imagine everyone there just going by the context clue of like, all right, listen, I don't know what gumption is, but I know someone's music is about to hit because she just called them out. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I was really interested to see. Because it's up there with suffering succotash as far as like old person phrases that they slip into their top people's vernacular that has no idea how silly they sound.
I think Rousey's quirky enough that she might use that word. I think she's a little bit. I could see her have, for some reason having that in her vernacular, Rich. I'm a little more thinking. I can't rule it out with what I've heard from Rousey so far.
go
ahead, Richie. Yeah.
I think people understood the content of the promo, but that word, who is the challenger? I think that's the thing with the crowd. Like, I don't think we have to understand like everything that the wrestler has to say, but at the same time, it's like, if I don't understand it, then maybe someone else won't understand it either. Or don't think the promo will come off as good.
So, percentage-wise, how full did the building end up being tonight, and how did that compare to Sunday night?
Every time some fans come to the stop, and I look all around, and it looked like everything was good. And one of my friends I went to go to the show with, like, he told me, yeah, this is a packed building. So I would say that it was a legit sellout. Then for tonight's Raw, there were a couple of empty seats on the opposite side of the hard cam.
Yeah.
But I would say it's like probably 95% full. It was a pretty packed night. Like, especially with the seats on the face of the hard cam, those are filled. But opposite of the hard cam, there's a few seats scattered here and there that aren't filled in. So it was not a sellout, but it's a good crowd.
Now, do you know my final question for you, Richie?
What's that?
What did you pay for your tickets both nights? Oh. And are you happy with the value you got for where you sat?
I mean,
I don't have to say if it's uncomfortable.
I got front rows for Hell in a Cell, and I believe there were 400 and some change. We sat on the floor facing on one of the corners facing the hard cam. For Hell in a Cell, the 400 and some change, and for Monday Night Raw, I want to say there were $300 for a front row facing the hard cam. We were facing the hard cam row E1-3, so three of us. And I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this, but like if people saw my sign tonight, that's me. I had a sign that says Roman Reigns here, Drew Gulak, and funny thing was Drew Gulak noticed it and he tweeted it out, so I'm kinda happy to know.
That's cool. Do you
so that's kinda cool. But yeah, I think regardless, like, I'll be a happy happy camper, but like
yeah.
I don't know if it's really worth. I mean, I don't know. I can't say yes or no. There's some good things that are good, there's some things that aren't great. But overall, I think the positives outweigh the negatives. So I think I enjoyed both my nights. So I'm happy with what I paid for. And the cool thing with the 4-row seats is if you get close enough, you can get the collector's share. So I got the other one to my collection. And to me, like whenever I do these events, I try my best to get the 4-row seats because I like collecting things. Until my parents say, hey, no more.
All right, cool. Richie, thanks so much for all sharing all that information with us tonight.
All right. I do appreciate giving you the feedback. And if there's any more events, I'll let you know if I do it to them.
Sounds great. Thanks, Richie.
All right. It's a pleasure talking to you, y'all.
You bet. All right, we are back for the mailbag segment of the program. Before we get to the emails that you guys have sent in, Rich, tell people about your free PW Torch livecast, the deep dive, normally on Saturdays, and then also the VIP East Coast cast. Are you still doing that? Like, when I say you're still doing it, I mean, is the show still going on from last Wednesday night?
Oh, my God. If it was, I would be probably semi-conscious more than I usually am at this time of night. I'll start with the East Coast cast. So the East Coast cast is, as Travis has been lovely to mention, and then Wade's kind of adopted, or maybe it was the other way around. It's not minivan friendly, so viewer discretion is advised. The free portion goes from 6 to about 8:30, 9 o'clock, depending on Travis's proclivities. And he and Cameron Hawkins talk about the week in wrestling and everything in between. Then we meet Travis and I, and we have the VIP portion, which goes from an extremely long time. And it's usually a race to see how much my patience or my sleep deprivation will finally give in to Travis's need to needle me in that state. But we talk about wrestling. We talk about politics. We talk about life. Travis is, despite my protestations, a really good partner on this. He's been doing it for almost 10 years, and I've been along for the last 2.5, 3. And it's a great time. So if you're interested, definitely shoot us an email, eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com, or give us a call during the week and leave a voicemail, which Cam was happy to set up. And then on the other side, every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, typically, I do the East Coast. Oh my God, I messed myself up. I do the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, which is a PW Torch live cast experience where I dive into a subject for about an hour, maybe a little longer, depending on the guest host or co-host. and we try to have fun with it. So some weeks I've jumped into the history of wrestling heroes to me, not necessarily in the, you know, superstars, but someone like a Big Cat Ernie Ladd, who not only was a good wrestler, but an even better civil rights icon in terms of the boycott he helped run with the AFL in New Orleans and the work he did to help African-American athletes kind of progress past some of the stereotypes they were given in certain roles. And then we get silly, like in a few weeks, I'm going to have my buddy Justin McClellan back on to review with me the Marine Six and see how badly Shawn Michaels and Becky Lynch wanted to star in movies. And in between, we've been doing some experiments where sometimes it is a live cast and sometimes I pre-record some interviews and kind of splice them together. If you've ever listened to The Art of Wrestling, kind of in that style. Coming up in the next 2 weeks, I'm pretty proud of a show we're going to be doing in October. I'm going to be the production assistant, and then Ciara Reed and Bree, two women who I trust implicitly for their wrestling knowledge and know-how in the world of sport, will debate the merits of the Bella Twins at 10 years in. Were they a net gain or net loss to the wrestling industry? Because Ciara loves the Bella. She sees them as women who not only are decent wrestlers, but even better businesswomen. And Bree sees them as shysters that do nothing but bring down the product for women wrestling. And so I figured rather than have guys on, I'll have two women discuss it who are well-versed, and I will get out of the way, which I did the last time they were on together. I just, whenever they needed to go to commercial, I'd go to commercial, but in between, let them handle the show.
That's great. That is fantastic. So everybody search PW Torch in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, just about everywhere that podcasts are searchable. If you search PW Torch, the PW Torch Livecast logo should pop up. Just subscribe to that. The Deep Dive is one of seven new shows each week, a different show on each day of the week. We got shows dedicated to ROH, MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans, Impact Wrestling, NXT, and also the latest show from Sunday night is Wrestling Night in America, covering the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view with Greg Parks taking calls and basically doing a post-show with venting and gushing and all, whatever the show, whatever people thought of the show, Greg's on there giving his thoughts and people are calling in. So check that out if you missed it or haven't subscribed yet. Just search PW Torch. You can also check out the schedule and stream the shows when the shows are live at pwtorchlivecast.com. That's the homepage for that lineup. All right, Rich, let's jump to emails and begin with Jason Phelan from Cleveland, Ohio. He says, so basically to get Roman cheered, WWE just needs to make sure he gets triple or quadruple teamed every match so that the super popular Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins make the save. I imagine that will be the case again in Saudi Arabia. This is the third time in a month and it works, but I have to think it will be predictable and stale in no time as I'm already feeling tired of the smoke and mirrors. By the way, did they really say that Roman Reigns is considered the underdog tonight against Baron Corbin? That's the most ridiculous comment since Vince's boy. Yeah, as it relates to Reigns, it is. I think the comment about Maurice being an underrated technician is probably a little more outlandish. But yeah, Rich, I mean, I'm for the Shield being there to defend each other. I think wrestlers who are known to be friends should be there to save each other from beatdowns from heels. And that's good. But it is a hand that can be overplayed, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know the email late mentioned the underdog. That, to me, was just a very cheap ploy to get the big dog to be the closing of that.
Exactly.
As soon as I heard it, it was like, oh, you're the underdog. He's like, no, I'm the big dog, this guy. He's this close to saying I'm the big dog and then barking seven times.
Oh, God.
And yes. And then, you know, again, to continue what we were saying earlier, he'll start saying who let the dogs out, and then I'm just going to quit. That's really what I have to
That's the line. Like, that's the line. Huh?
Yeah, that's my line. Everyone's got their line. If he makes a who let the dogs out joke, that's when I got to call it. But yeah, I think the Shield really should watch their backs. It's the logical issue that you had a few years ago where why are the faces coming out? Why aren't the faces coming out to help when all the heels help each other? And I think if the Shield is going to be that group that they're brothers and, you know, now they're the war dogs are going around wrecking people, they should at least watch each other's back. I think if you want to go a bridge further than they're used to, maybe they can help out other faces in peril. But, you know, again, that's me talking crazy.
All right. So, but by the way, I want to remind people tomorrow we'll be doing a post SmackDown show. Well, for most of you later today. And when you're watching SmackDown, you can send questions in. Send questions and comments to Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. And you can also join us live. You can find our the live stream for this show within about 5 minutes of Raw SmackDown ending at wadekellerpodcast.com. And when you go there, you'll see a link to the live stream. You can join us and stream the show live for the caller portion and join us as a caller. And the phone number will be on that screen. It'll also, all that information, including the link directly to our show, is on my report on Raw and SmackDown at pwtorch.com. I'm covering Raw and SmackDown just about every Monday night and Tuesday night live as the shows air. You can read my commentary and details of what's happening on the show. So if you're not seeing the show and you want to catch up, check out pwtorch.com for my reports. And if you are watching the show live, you can hit refresh throughout the show and follow along and see what I'm thinking of the segments. That also is where you find the link to the direct stream, the stream for the show that we're doing on that episode. So check it out at pwtorch.com and visit us throughout the week. We've got all kinds of coverage and flashbacks, editorials, features you won't find anywhere else. All right, so up next, TJ says, hello, Wade and Rich. Raw basically sucks these days, but I got to give props to the creative team for scripting Ronda Rousey to ask about a procedure for issuing an open challenge. Should I ask Corbin? Should I text Stephanie? Should I just go out there? Does this mean there's at least one person on the writing staff who recognizes how inconsistent the show's matchmaking authority structure is? It seems problematic that there's so little logic within the WWE story universe, that the athlete characters, one of whom is a major champion, doesn't even know how to get a freaking match. I always enjoy your writing and your podcast, so thanks as always. Thanks, TJ. I thought that was neat. Ronda's kind of the new woman in town. She's still figuring out the ropes, figuring out the way things work, and she's a champion, and she's like, well, I saw these other champions be fighting champions. I want to be one of them. So how do I go about it? Let me ask the Bellas, who have been around forever, relatively speaking. Maybe they know how this works. I thought that was fun. I thought it gave Ronda a chance to be conversational and get her personality across a little bit. And Natalya, certainly her eyes lit up at the open challenge. And I think they wanted us to think we were figuring out that Natalya was going to answer the challenge without making it so obvious that we didn't think we got some credit for figuring it out. So overall, I like that approach. Rich, how about you?
Yeah, I liked it. I think Ronda has the balance found so early in her career between being the wide-eye fans, coom wrestler, and serious top star. Mm-hmm. She kind of does what we talk about, and I don't want it to be this thing. But every time I'm on, I kind of feed into your worst tendencies with Roman. But
I don't have worst tendencies about anything, Rich. I'm just spot on. There's no bad tendencies. What are you talking about? I don't have worst anything. All right, go ahead.
Oh man, I walked into that one. But I feel like Ronda makes herself vulnerable in a way that can be goofy. Like, as much as I bag on the idea of her saying gumption, it was her just trying to, like, okay, so these guys, they always say, okay, open challenge. Is this my open challenge? Can I make this an open? I feel like she's one of the, like, the first time you have like the Tonight Show when it switched, or any of these other late night shows. Like, can I hit the music? Can we get a little title fight music, Paul? You know, she's just trying to figure out where she fits, where the water is, the coffee, et cetera, in the office. And I like it. I think it's a little naive, but she doesn't play it like the bumbling idiot that people were taking advantage of. She's just happy to be there, but yeah, She'll murder you if she gets in the ring. She just wants a good challenge. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Chris A. Says, I was okay with and actually a bit excited about Renee on commentary. That is until tonight, when it became oh so clear that she's Vince's Cole 2.0, forcing the big dog and all sorts of similar ridiculousness around Roman down our throats. She's okay in general outside of Roman, but that is what you could say about Raw in general. Without Roman, it could be enjoyable, but with him, nothing else matters because, all caps, everyone and everything goes through Roman. Whether it's Brock, Strowman, Seth, Dean, Renee, Cole, or anyone else that may get in the way. Roman's probably even the reason that the B-team lost the tag team titles. After all, they were getting way too much positive response when they were champs, and you can't have that. I'm actually a bit surprised Vinnie Mac hasn't pulled out his checkbook to bring in Dwayne Johnson full-time to shadow Roman, or is Dwayne not willing to do that for any price since that would ruin his career? Well, I think he might be the one guy they can't afford to bring in full-time at this point. Even Saudi money might not be enough to get Dwayne Johnson on that road trip. But he might be the only one now that Shawn Michaels might be selling, I won't say selling out, but selling off his vow to not be one of those guys. But he never imagined Saudi money would go his way. So, if you want to know if Roman's supposed to be a babyface, just listen to Renee Young. I mean, she is absolutely rich, touting and talking up Roman, and they're trying to use, just like with Seth, and as Chris is saying, everybody, they're trying to use her credibility and goodwill built up with fans to vouch for Roman being a good guy, that if you're one of the people booing him, you should like him.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. They had a situation where Roman was wrestling, and it was weird because in the main event, you had this double dutch or this dance going on between the three of them. And Renee would try, anytime she was talking about Corbin, she could only do one word responses like, oh. But when it was Roman, she would have these sentences where she could talk about how unfair it is that Roman is being, you know, this travesty of justice. And I think the main event convinced me of two things. One, outside of the Roman stuff, Renee was fine. And two, when it is a Roman match, I'm at the point where Corey Graves is almost unlistenable because he is just – he's supposed to be a Jesse Ventura knockoff, like three generations deep of a knockoff. And at this point – he's so far into trying to imitate Jesse Ventura, he's turned himself into a parody of what he's trying to parody, and it's just annoying.
I think
like Jesse would have someone to push back.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite part as a kid, because I grew up as a WWE fan first and then kind of found everything else as I got older, was the "Will You Stop?" Because Gorilla Monsoon realized at some point, just shut this guy up. He did the same thing to him that he did to Bobby Heenan with Corey. There is no one to shut him up. He just keeps going.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Corey channels Bobby Heenan quite a bit too. I know the Jesse Ventura example gets given a lot, but there's just a tonality to sometimes and a cadence to what Graves says. It makes me think he's been watching Bobby too in some of his color commentary. But Graves is good in a lot of ways, but there are things, either his own what do you call them, Rich? Worst tendencies?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Good. I just want to make sure that's right. Hashtag worst tendency. He does have, and then he gets fed some of the lines too by Vince, obviously. Most of them probably. And yeah, it's overbearing. In fact, Drew Max of DeBerry, Florida says that main event was completely ridiculous. A no DQ match, basically 4-on-3, one of those four being Braun. Roman still manages to win. Why don't they just make him defend his title in a no rules match against the entire roster and win? I mean, people are...
Oh, they tried that already. He lost. It was the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And Triple H beat him, which if you say that in a vacuum, you'd be like, wait, what? But at the time when it did happen, people were so excited, they didn't stop to realize, oh, Triple H won.
Yes. This is email we just got about a half hour ago, but he's asking about Hell in a Cell, but it's already late. He goes, longtime listener, first time sending in a question. WTF happened at the end of HIAC. 1F5 took out Roman last night, yet he took like five at SummerSlam, and 1F5 took out Braun, and the match ended in a no contest. I thought there were no rules. Anything goes in a cell. Rich, how do you think they handled that? We'll use Bick, I guess Bick is his name, Bick's question here. To parlay into that, how do you think they did in explaining how a Hell in a Cell match can just be called off because the wrestler seemed too hurt by an outside force? And, you know, I joked on the VIP roundtable last night that, you know, well, if the door isn't on the cell, you know, there's a rule that says a match cannot continue. It's just that if the door's knocked off, it can't continue. I mean, you can make stuff up. It's not even a laugh line as much as, like, there's just... They just make it up as they go along, and in that case, those two guys were too hurt. It was just ludicrous how long they lay there while all this climbing of the cell was going on and Brock coming out. But on Raw tonight, do you think that they addressed it well and explained it well? And I know Cole at one point just said, you know, they couldn't continue, so we had to call off the match. But I think, you know, some people are thinking, okay, well, maybe you ought to continue it the next night or announce you're going to continue it another time. I mean, if that's Braun Strowman's cash-in, shouldn't he be ranting and raving about Brock costing him his Hell in a Cell cash-in? Because Braun essentially is Baron Corbin now. He failed thanks to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and I talked about this on the special edition of the Deep Dive last night as it was happening with Travis. The issue for me was you had a Hell in a Cell match earlier in the show where a man, I get ill just thinking about it, stuck a screwdriver in another man's ear and demanded to the referee that he had to count despite the opponent being darn near incapacitated, almost unconscious. And you have a referee in the main event whose claim to fame that they used after the show on WWE Network was he was in a match where JR screamed somebody stopped the match and they didn't stop the match. And that the logical just leaps that they completely ignored to stop that match were silly. And I think Braun turned into a petulant teenager when he did react the way I would have reacted if you told me I had to cash in my money in the bank and all that silliness occurred, where, oh yeah, you'll get your match, but it's now in a three-way rewarding Brock Lesnar for his idiocy. And he's like, it sucks. You suck, and this suck, and you people in the stand suck for cheering it, because I should just get a rematch right now, or you should have kept the cameras rolling, and as soon as we came to, we're going to finish this. Because remember, this is also a pair of people who have flipped ambulances and gurneys and Lord knows what else on each other and against each other and hit each other with Lord knows what else. So how is it that them taking a nap and needing some orange slices in the middle of a Hell in a Cell dictates to a ref that this has got to go down? It's baffling. And Monday tonight didn't help.
Yeah, there's no consistent rules of engagement. There's no framework that fans can count on being followed on a consistent basis. Vince McMahon doesn't think it matters. He's gotten away with it not mattering a lot of the time. And I think they're just going to continue doing that. They're going to go, here's point A, here's point C. And to get there, we've got to ignore a lot of stuff. And just because we don't want to get bogged down and worrying about the technicalities or how things were handled in the past or how people would feel, we're just going to push on. And they do, and it's unfortunate. I wish there was more craftsmanship to the framework and the storylines and the rules. I think it'd be a better product, and I think it would sharpen their booking if they held themselves to that standard. And they don't, and we suffer as viewers. I mean, not everybody cares, but even people who don't consciously care, it does kind of eat away at the sense that there's this world that they follow has some consistent structure that they can count on. And I think that leads to better storytelling. All right. Paul Ellen Ridge, New York says, I'm sure you may have a few calls and emails about this already, but the biggest thing I have to say about this Raw is, really? Less than 5 days after Evolution, you're going to do a show in a country where the women won't be allowed to perform? Who in WWE headquarters thought that was a good idea? Also, watching the IC title match tonight did make me realize we didn't have a secondary men's title defended at all last night. Has that ever happened before? Heck, why not have Corbin come out after the tag match last night and make Seth defend it, maybe against KO or Elias? Well, as far as the second thing goes, I don't think every title has to be defended on every pay-per-view. There's too many titles for that. I don't think that should be a rule or an expectation. And no, I wouldn't want a minute taken off that tag match last night. I thought that was just fantastic. And I don't think the pay-per-view should have been any longer just to get a title defense on there. And the title defenses I see in U.S. belts are defended often enough on TV. It doesn't feel like it has to be on pay-per-view. So for that, I didn't have a problem at all. It was just one of those shows. That's going to happen sometimes. The Evolution Saudi Arabia thing, I don't know if the timing is a coincidence or not, Rich. You know, we talked about, well, maybe last time in Saudi Arabia, there was a thought of, well, maybe the women should get their own show. And I was sort of like, that's sort of a pat on the head. Like, well, you don't get to come here and make big money. And I heard some, you know, the women were taken care of in some way financially. But it's not the same thing. It's still, you're giving in to a culture that is reprehensibly behind modern society, despite the fact that so many other aspects of it from a technological and architectural and resource standpoint is with the times. And WWE is going along with that in order to cash in. And, you know, they can say, well, our obligation is to our stockholders and talk themselves into that. But is the Evolution pay-per-view, does it seem diminished now if people look at it as just merely a gesture to try to fend off criticism about the second Saudi Arabia show? And will it, or will it be seen as the women kind of snubbing their nose going, hey, we got our own show, we're fine, and maybe WWE should be applauded for countering this backwards stance that Saudi Arabia has by at least giving the women something of their own that they can be proud of. Rich, I think there could be a lot of ways to look at this. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think the one thing that sticks, again, I was about to use an old person phrase in my craw, is the fact that they
have, that showed gumption.
See,
you went through
it,
with it, Rich.
It really did. Yeah. Dag, nab it. Sarsaparilla. Now I'm done. Okay. I look at it, and the fact that they've been trying to sell this as an opportunity to change minds in Saudi Arabia, when they showed Carmella, I believe, and she had like the hint of one of her outfits, and their sports minister apologized for the lascivious nature of the video that was shown on the screen. The jig was up. If you want to take the money and run, do it. If you're going to put Evolution up as your mea culpa and the way to Shield, I think, you know, to be frank, I would prefer they not go to Saudi Arabia. But if you're going to do it and you're going to have Evolution as your penance, I think that's good for the ladies. But I think in the long run, questions are going to be asked, because eventually they're going to run out of legends. Or are you just going to give them whatever they want? At some point, there has to be a line, and I don't know what it's going to be. But over the next 10 years, you know, you're getting $500 million. So I truly wonder what WWE is going to do with it, considering all the other money they're going to make between the television rights and everything else. Is that juice worth the squeeze? Personally, I think it's not.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I think another rant about Roman here will squeeze in. Did I just say squeeze after you said the squeeze? Zach in Texas, to steal a phrase from The Rock, what in the blue hell is Brock Lesnar doing back on my TV again? I was all the way good with not seeing him for a while, and yet here he is booked in a match that he has zero chance of winning. I don't get it. Well, actually, I do. What we're not talking about is the fact that Vince used Brock, among others, to pull a fast one last night and distract us while he got rid of Braun's Money in the Bank contract so Roman can have a long, painful reign without that hanging over his head. Does this mean Roman is going to be champion for life now? And how dumb does Braun Strowman look for failing at his cash-in when Alexa Bliss succeeded at hers? Rich, I talked about it, but the Money in the Bank cash-in was not a symbolic, the briefcase wasn't handed over at the match. They didn't talk about it. It is kind of the case of the disappearing. It's the case of the disappearing case. It's not something that has been talked about, because I don't think they want Braun to be seen as failing, and they don't want to draw attention to the fact that something was taken away from fans in the kind of tradition of a memorable Money in the Bank resolution. It was just totally in the background last night and not revealed again tonight.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think it'll be interesting to see when next they do Money in the Bank. This is going full conspiracy. Like, do they give you the option of one briefcase? If they stick with the one briefcase method, that means whatever place Roman is, I would presume the other person's title is most likely going to be in jeopardy. If they continue, even, you know, once they get to Fox with the two champion model for men and women, because, yeah, he's going to be the top guy for a while. He might lose it every now and again, but he's going to have it. And the sooner, again, I wouldn't go as far as the submit, but we're darn close to it, because unless Vince sells or Roman gets arrested, they're happy with where he's at, and they're happy with playing the chalk, so to speak, as far as who their champions are.
All right, Rich, we will end on that note. Tell people how they can follow you on social media if you wish to advertise such things.
Yeah, sure. They're welcome to follow me. I mean, you can find me on Twitter at @Rich_Fann, F-A-N-N. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, I think it's R-D-O-T-D-E-U-C-E, R.Deuce. Primarily pictures of my family, my son. Every now and again, if there's something silly, I'll put it up there. But for the most part, I'd say stick to Twitter. And if you want to follow the East Coast Cast, just go to East Coast Cast on – just Google East Coast Cast, and you'll get all of our fine litany of things you can follow us with.
Awesome. Rich, always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Wade. Pleasure, and look forward to the next time.
Absolutely. All right, don't forget, you can become a VIP member and listen to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and Wade Keller podcasts with the ads and plugs removed. A streamlined listening experience when you become a VIP member. You can get full information at pwtorchvipinfo.com. It's a long list of benefits. In fact, all 7 PW Torch livecasts each week are also offered with the ads and plugs removed. You can subscribe to those feeds on our... to those shows on our VIP podcast feed, which is free of ads and includes the vast majority of what I do during the week. Believe it or not, these 4 podcasts per week is less than half of the podcasting that I do each week. I actually do about 12 other podcasts during the week on professional wrestling on a bunch of different formats and topics. I do a full rundown and analysis of Raw start to finish, and the same thing on SmackDown. So if you're not watching the shows because of football season or your schedule or apathy or whatever it is, but you want to know what's going on and you want to feel like you're keeping up, one of the benefits of being a VIP member is the Wade Keller Hotline every single day without a day off for close to 9 years now. And I did the hotline before that, but I actually took a day off now and then before 9 years ago. You can every day count on a Wade Keller Hotline being on the VIP feed with a full rundown of Raw or SmackDown. Sometimes I do that with NXT. I answer mailbag questions and also cover the latest news. If there's big news breaking, I'll do an in-depth analysis of that. Plus, I host the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show 3 times a week and The Fix with Todd Martin for a couple hours every midweek. And Sunday night, I hosted the probably the most popular feature among VIP members, and that is our post-pay-per-view roundtables. Todd Martin and Bruce Mitchell joined me for the post-pay-per-view roundtable after Hell in a Cell. We talk for about an hour after every WWE pay-per-view, and it becomes available about an hour, 15 minutes after the pay-per-view's off the air. That is available for VIP members to download, or if you're already in bed, you can wait till the next morning to download it. And that's just one category of what comes with VIP membership. You also get access to our website, the ad-free version of our website, pwtorch.com, which includes the VIP version without ads, includes access to our library of all our past podcasts dating back to 2004 and retro radio shows, hundreds of them from the 1990s, and over 1,500 back issues of what started it all, the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter. We've got over 1,500 back issues dating back to the late 1980s. That includes, for instance, my report on every single SummerSlam. Star ratings, match analysis, roundtable reviews from the Torch staff added to it, reader reviews, scores, poll results, and our cover stories on every major story in wrestling over the past 30 plus years. My cover stories on all those big happenings and hard-hitting editorials, Torch Talk interview transcript, vintage interviews with some of Pro Wrestling's biggest names and the longest insider interviews they've ever done. All kinds of cool stuff. Check it out if you haven't yet. You can get more details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. You can also read some testimonials. There's a link to our testimonials page if you want to hear from VIP members talking about why they choose to be VIP members and go beyond listening to the free shows that we offer during the week. So check that out. Be sure to visit pwtorch.com every day. There's new content up every day, TV reviews, news, flashbacks, editorials, and more. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and at PWTorch. You can follow us on Instagram at PWTorch. And on Facebook, you can like our brand at facebook.com/PWTorch. And you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. That will do it for me for today. So thank you, everybody, for your support. And until tomorrow, with Post-SmackDown Show with Jason from Australia, this is Wade Keller signing off. Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that 2-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.